This morning we're looking continually in Matthew chapter 6. This morning, a message you probably don't hear very often on fasting. A lot of people don't like to go there. I don't mind to go there because it's in the Word and we are to teach it, preach it, and practice it in the right way. And we're going to find out the right way, the correct way of fasting today. And Jesus teaches it himself. So if you'll follow along with me, we'll begin with verse 16. Jesus says, when you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. Jesus talks about a lot about the hypocrites, doesn't he? Yeah, yes he does. For they neglect their appearance, so they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18. So that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So as we look at this scripture this morning, and I hope that this will bring some clarity to you and myself as well. I've studied quite a bit on this subject in the past, and prayer and fasting go together. Matter of fact, Jesus oftentimes would remind the disciples when they were going about healing people and doing miracles and providing salvation to those who came to Jesus. And the disciples say, why could we not do this? We see you heal and the miracles that you provide. And Jesus often reminded the disciples, this only happens through prayer and fasting. And Jesus did that. Well, look how many times Jesus fasted. In the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights. He did that in order to be obedient to the Father, and the Father would reveal to him exactly what he wanted Christ to do. Starting the ministry, the 3.5 years of ministry before he went to the cross. Many other times the scripture talks about where Jesus said, I do not live by manna alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, think about that, how important it is for us as well. You know, Jesus did that. That was his practice, and it should be a practice of ours, and he teaches it right here on the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus both practiced fasting, and he taught about it. And yet, fasting is something that is often feared and misunderstood. It really is. It's misunderstood. And many Christians, many circles of Christians, you rarely hear about fasting, and yet the scripture mentions it more than something as important as baptism. Baptism, well, is mentioned 77 times. Important. 77 times fasting, and 75 times baptism is mentioned in the scripture. So, a couple more times fasting is mentioned more than baptism, and Jesus emphasizes baptism, the importance of it. So as believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, We need to learn about it, and occasionally, if not often, practice this spiritual discipline. I'm going to give you a biblical definition of this that I have found on fasting. It's a Christian voluntary abstinence from food by spiritual purposes. Now, fasting is more than just kind of a ultra crash or diet for the body. It's more than that. It's abstinence from food to help us grow in our faith. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that's one of the Beatitudes. But Jesus said this, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after my righteousness." Now, when seeking a deeper spiritual, what I would call experience with God, we are still in a physical body. And as this physical body, we can't get rid of, right? This is the old nature that we have. And though our heart is seen by God, now God sees everything in our heart, right? He knows everything in our heart. He sees it. And our physical appearance is seen by people. God sees our heart. People sees our external appearance. And the way that we present ourselves physically, or rather our outward expression, can speak volumes about our inner person. Reminding you and myself, Jesus sees the inner part of our life. Now, we need to learn about this in our lives. So, it says, "Who are we trying to impress when we fast? Jesus or people around us?" Now, in this passage this morning, in this passage, this scripture, we're going to be looking at what Jesus says about physical appearance when fasting. So first of all, and the only point I have, because with time in verses 16 through 18, Jesus admonishes us about fasting. And I want to begin by pointing out how, in verse 16, Jesus said, "Moreover, when you fast." Moreover, when you fast. He has also said in verse 17, "But you, when you fast." So he says it once in verse 16 and then verse 17. And by these statements and by providing instructions on what to do and what not to do, Jesus assumed that believers will at some point in their life fast. I found when it comes to some very important spiritual decisions, maybe the Holy Spirit lays upon our heart a change in our life or something He's calling us to do, and we want to spend time along with the Lord just like Jesus did with the Heavenly Father, and He went to the mountain or a place of solitude, and He prayed to the Heavenly Father. Oftentimes, we need to do that so that we can spend a long time, that we're not distracted by food or other things, but our spiritual inward being is directly focused on the will of God. Back when the Lord called me back in 83, of course, for 8 years, I pondered on the calling. And it came so strong in my life, and I wanted to be sure, so I can tell you this now. You know, I fasted. And I don't know, a couple of days, maybe 3 days, I didn't eat. I was hungry, but I wanted to know for sure. And God honored that, and He directly gave me that calling, and with confidence, I was able to say, yes, Lord, now I understand what it means to spend time in prayer and not rely upon food and stuff for my spiritual nourishment or my physical, but upon you. And it will come to you when God sees that you enter into a time along with him in devotion with prayer and fasting. He will honor that and give you the answers to your prayer. So in Matthew 6, for example, Jesus said, when you do a charitable deed. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he also said, and when you pray. And we are supposed to give and devote ourselves to prayer. And we often use these verses to teach about these principles. So it seems safe to say that Jesus still expects his followers to fast even today, just as he expects us to give ourselves in prayer. Now, Jesus said of those who deliberately showed off, you know, their fasting, he said, they will have their reward. He made this same statement in verse 2 when he spoke of those who made a public spectacle of their charitable giving. And he was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, and he called them hypocrites. And let me remind us about what Jesus meant. I want to clarify that. Jesus always made things very clear. And see, we have the Holy Spirit today that lives within our heart, in our lives, that makes it very clear when we go to the Lord in prayer. The Holy Spirit, see, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that I have taught you that we have done here on earth. So Jesus specifically will do that. Now, this phrase can literally be translated as they have their own reward, but here it says Jesus was telling them, here your proof of payment. Now sign it and move on. That's right. I mean, it's kind of profound the way it's presented here, but that's what Jesus, he wanted to clarify that, make that known. And if you fast to demonstrate your piety, you will get your admonition of men. But that is all you will get, what Jesus is saying. So that is our payment in full. And Jesus is saying you will forfeit the rewards that God only can give you when you do it for the praise of men. Now, moving on to verse 17 and 18. Jesus said that if we want to make sure people do not know that we are fasting, we should. And Jesus put it this way, anoint your head with oil and wash your face. Now, I want a clarification of what Jesus was meaning when he was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, or he called hypocrites. Anointing was a symbol of joy forbidden on the Day of Atonement. In fact, both anointing and washing one's face were forbidden by the Jewish canon on the days of fasting and humiliation. And the hypocrites took advantage of this ordinance that they might appear to fast. And that's what Jesus was calling them out on. See, the law forbid anointing and washing. And yet Jesus proposed that one anoint his head and wash his feet, face when they fasted. Jesus admonished that. And yet Jesus proposed that they do this. And we have seen this before where Jesus seemed to contradict law. In verses 21 through 22, but Jesus said, I didn't to come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He always clarified why it was the right thing to do when he commanded this. But I must emphasize that Jesus never took away from the law or contradicted what it says. And that's verified in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 here. So as the Word made flesh, he used his authority to add and explain, interpret, and provide a good reason why we should or should not do something. Now, Jesus ended by saying, the only one should know about our fasting is our Heavenly Father, who gives us the praise and the reward for our obedience. That's in verse 17. And in verse 18, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. See, our reward should and our praise should come from the Lord. We should do it for Him, not for public appearance or to look holy or righteous in our own way. So this is to say that we are not supposed to be seeking any kind of public or open credits, as our reward is from our Heavenly Father. Chapter 6, verse 1. I want to go back and read verse 1 of chapter 6, where Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Now, as we look in conclusion this morning on fasting, I wish I had more time to spend on this, and maybe I will in the near future. But what I wanted us to see here today as part of the Sermon on the Mount and prayer and fasting, which is very important for our spiritual growth. You know, when you spend time along with the Lord, when we are along with the Lord and studying God's Word, He's right there with you. He's right there with you. And He will honor anything that we do in His name. That's why the disciples say, Lord, we want to be close to You. We want to be close to the Heavenly Father. And we hear You pray. We see You in action all the time. We want to follow Your example. And that's why Jesus gave him the Lord's Prayer, which I preached on last Sunday, and now he moved on to fasting. Prayer and fasting is a part of our spiritual growth. And when we do it, we need to do it for a specific reason. That is to grow more spiritual. That is to get closer with the Lord in our relationship with Him. So what we have learned about this passage is that Jesus expects His followers to fast from time to time. And when we fast, we must have the right motivation, which is to draw us closer to God. And there's nothing better than that. Rather than receiving praise and admonition from people. So this means that we need to be mindful of our outward appearance, not in vanity, but in consideration of humility before God, because it's before Him and Him only as we worship. So instead of appearing before others, we are suffering from malnutrition, but we should present ourselves as we would on any day, being dressed and well-groomed spiritually. So, in that way, only our Heavenly Father will know what we are, why we are fasting, and the reason that we are fasting. and that we are wanting to build a relationship with Him, get closer to Him, and may have clarity on any decisions or questions that we may have that we bring to Him, He will give us clarity. And He says He will reward us spiritually. Nothing better than being rewarded spiritually by the Heavenly Father. You know, you will know it. You will know it. And He will bless you for that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message this morning on fasting and prayer. They both go hand in hand. They go together. And we thank You for Your presence in our life. We thank You how You teach us through Your word the right way to do anything in Your name. And Lord, I pray this morning as we come together to present ourselves as living servants to You. Lord, You teach us and You give us the spiritual gifts. You give us everything that we need to know how that we are to conduct ourselves in our time with You, that we come to You humbly, contrite in spirit. We have great examples in Psalms with David and Paul and the disciples and even the prophets. Ezekiel, as he says, as I stand before Your presence, I stand humbly before You. Meaning, Lord, speak to me. Give me Your word. Give me what I need to hear that will help me grow spiritually. To give me directions, to help me to lead, help me to follow Your guidance in my life. The prophets and the apostles and all of those who sought You, they found exactly what they needed for that period of time and for that moment. And may we likewise take time to come to You and be humble and surrender our all to You. Lord, during this invitation this morning, Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us will examine our own lives, where we are in our relationship with You, and any decisions that needs to be made, Lord, You will give us the answer. You welcome us to come to You. We just praise Your holy name for Your goodness and Your mercy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song before we take our communion together. And our hymn of invitation this morning is, I Am Thine, O Lord.